When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's me, that pile of stuff you keep telling yourself that you're going to go through, but instead of going through it, you just keep contributing to it and making it bigger. I know that it is easier just to add to me than it is to actually go through me, but here's an idea to motivate you to actually sit down and go through me. How about in the background, you pop on an episode of this podcast? Before we continue my first ever journey through the Harry Potter series, just a few quick announcements. First, as you can tell from the title, this is a live show. This was recorded in Los Angeles in February of this year, which was actually, fun fact, 12 years ago. Don't worry if you know nothing about The Bachelor, the TV show, Brandon and Lauren. My guests also knew absolutely nothing about it, so the show is very much geared in an explain it like I'm five way, so you will be completely kept in the loop and caught up to speed even if you have zero Bachelor experience. Second, I have more information about the Potterless Re-Listen, which we will be calling hashtag Potterless Rewind. To celebrate 4 years of Potterless, which is coming out this week, we will be doing a re-listen of all the book episodes of Potterless. And the plan is that on social media, we will be posting about these on Sundays with the hashtag Potterless Rewind. We'll have a calendar set up that we will share on social media, but basically each week there will be a set number of episodes to talk about on that upcoming Sunday. It's like a book club for the podcast. So the first week will kick off on Monday, October 19th, meaning that on Sunday, October 24th, we will be talking about the first 7 episodes of Potterless. So episodes 0 through 7. On Sunday, if you want to post about them on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter with the hashtag Potterless Rewind, we can all have a big, fun book club session about how little I knew about the series and how I was so wrong in saying things like I didn't like Hermione. So that'll be a fun time, and we're going to kick that off Monday, October 19th. And speaking of exciting things, something that excites me is the new group of patrons that we have at our team over at patreon.com/potterless. So shout out to Cara Galloway, Renate Witt, Daniel Elizabeth, Charlie the Moth, Aim Sue, Hattie J, Essentially Haley, and Tim Heller. And shout out to Bardod, who upgraded their pledge. And of course, we have to give love to our existing producer level patrons. Vicky, Christine, Aaron, Clow, Marchismo, Samantha, Juan, Rosemary, Maria, Lisa, Romina, Audra, Eleanor, Nikita, Rachel, Zachary, Alex, John, Noel, Claire, Rory, Veronica, Lada, Noah, Tracy, Colleen, Jennifer, Justin, Jacob, Maya, Mark, Polly, Zina, Harlan, Noelia, Nikki, Kine, Amanda, Kafir, Sarah, Marta, Maya, Floor, Georgia, Skyla, Adele, Professor Threat, Ellie, Michael, Kelly, Kerry, Connie, Jen, Nedry, Will, Marcos, Marique, Ashton, Brittany, Phelan, The Meadows Family, Ginny, Heather, Kevin, Laurie, Jarl, Peta, Janin, Callahan, Leah, Melissa, Bella, Melanie, Becca, Reese, Adam, Joseph, Lily's Mom, Madison, Tonk, Sabrina, Sophia, Farzan, Melanie, Matt, Okamahime, Bony Pony, Kelsey, Rike, Taylor, Megan, Riley, Laurel, Rossan, Erica, Miranda, Landon, Kendra, Natanya, Yogan, Darcy, Sandra, Craig, Lior, Demi, Michelle, Callista, Jennifer, Henrique, Jeremy, Delkis, Katrina, Jerica, Casey, Megan, Zot, Jack, Sophia, Dane, Kirsty, Robin, Chick, Mermaid, Daddykins, Alaria, Lori, Gregory, Stan, Kaka, Nina, Ribbon, Brittany, Ashley, Ravenclaw, Gavin, Jack, Serenity, Emily, Haley, Sabrina, Sean, Jenna, Laura, Mazeltov, Eileen, Annette, Kirsten, Hufflepuff, Brett, Hunter, Mary, Steamed Nuggets, and Kurt Harry Potter, who never mess up cooking stuff on their stove to where it gets way too smoky, meaning that everything in their house smells like hamburgers. If you want to be like one of these amazing patrons and get access to director's commentary, my notes, bonus episodes, exclusive merchandise, and more, you can head on over to patreon.com/potterless. But without further ado, let's get into this special live episode of Potterless, The Wizarding World Bachelor Live with Brandon Grugel and Lauren Shippen.
Oh, what's good, Los Angeles?
Oh my gosh. Wow, it is so exciting to be here live in Los Angeles. Potterless Live! Pardon me. So, my name is Mike Schubert. I am very excited because we're going to be doing something incredibly special for this live show here in Los Angeles.
It's something that used to be near and dear to my heart, but is no longer because the show is garbage. But it's still fun to make fun of. So today, we will be performing Wizarding World The Bachelor. You might be wondering who this tiny little drawing is of. It is of our bachelor who has had no true representation in the film franchise, and that's Charlie Weasley. So, what we will be doing is going through a season of The Bachelor modeled after Ben H's season, which is the last good season of The Bachelor. And we'll just be going through and deciding who ultimately is the perfect love interest for Charlie. Now, I can't do this on my own. I need some help to make sure that I'm making fair decisions and not just, you know, making Ludo Bagman win everything. So I've enlisted the help because it is Valentine's Day. Thanks everyone for being my collective Valentine. And our collective Valentine. But I brought out a couple that is near and dear to my heart and in the podcasting world as well. And that's Lauren Shippen and Brandon Google. Woo! How's it going?
We did not agree on this. Not run this by me. I am looking forward to showing off my encyclopedic knowledge of The Bachelorette.
Right. How many episodes total have you both watched of the franchise?
Zero.
I've watched the one scene where they go to the island where there's some pigs and a bunch of clear water. And yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Yes. Okay, great.
That's all we need. What we have is a bunch of contestants. Four. So that's Charlie number one. Now, as you can see on this violently purple background behind us, we have the contestants. So for those listening at home, since it's a podcast, I will be going through who they are. So we've got Professor McGonagall, Professor Umbridge. Oh, and let me clarify. These are all of the people that were not canonically in a relationship in the book. So people like Hermione, Argon, Luna, etc. So these are just the single ladies of the world. So we got McGonagall, Umbridge, Trelawney, Bellatrix, Cho Chang, Rita Skeeter, Winky, Madame Pomfrey, Lavender Brown, Padma Patil, because Parvati gets with Dean Thomas, Moaning Myrtle, Katie Bell, Professor Sprout, who's the snake lady? Bathilda Bagshot. Anne Barge, Fat Lady, Pansy Parkinson, Madame Hooch, that's Marietta Edgecombe. There's also no, like, representation of her, so we had to go with the drawing. Professor Madame Pince, the librarian, Romilda Vane, and Septima Vector, the arithmancy teacher.
You know, Septima Vector.
Yes.
The very popular. Now,
I know what you're all thinking. Mike, this is modeled after Ben H's season. There were 30 contestants at the beginning, and there's not 30 people shown on screen. That is true. So, we have more contestants, but what we had to do, thanks to the suggestion of Lauren, is that we had to include more people because here's a fun fact about J.K. Rowling. Not particularly good at writing women characters in her series. The way that I was doing this was by number of mentions. That's Sporkle Quiz, which I often reference. And when you get down to it, like once we got past Septima Vector, it was like Mrs. Fig, the lady who ran the orphanage. Rowena Ravenclaw, like...
There was a plant that looked like a woman.
Yeah. It was incredibly slim pickings. So what Lauren suggested, which is good, is that we don't know anything about Charlie.
We really don't.
We don't know what Charlie's preferences are. So we've added 9 boys!
It's so exciting. Truly the creepiest rendering of Ludo Bagman.
It's the only canonical thing of him. So it's actually 8 boys. Sorry, it was. I had 9, but then Dean Thomas was taken by Parvati.
Right.
So I had to delete him and put in Septima Vector. So we have 8 boys. Those are Draco, Gilderoy Lockhart, Lee Jordan, Seamus, Peeves, Flitwick, Ludo Bagman. That is the picture of him from the PlayStation 2/GameCube video game of Quidditch World Cup. The only time besides the illustrated drawing he's been depicted, and the illustrated drawing one is terrifying, so I didn't put it.
And it's worse than that.
It's bad. It's really bad. And Xenophilius Lovegood. What was my criteria for picking these 8? It was the 8 that I was like, yeah, they might swing. Very official for that.
So we've got 28 humans and 2 other.
Yeah. So what we do so this is not weird and creepy is we're saying everyone is a consenting adult. Mm-hmm. And we're not worried about, like, Draco.
I did not consent to this.
Yes.
I was not the one.
So we'll be going through. And Misha, you can now go into edit mode since we will be slowly removing them. So what we're going to do, as The Bachelor does, and if you've never seen The Bachelor, don't worry, because they haven't. So I have to explain to them. So we will be going through, so don't worry. You're not going to be like, oh, man, I don't know. But the reason I'm in the suit is so that I can be Chris Harrison, who I've always wanted to be my entire life.
I did for...
The he's the host.
Yeah, I did for a little bit think that was To Catch a Predator guy.
Yeah, no!
Not Chris Harrison?
No, no, no. Okay. Chris Harrison, like, started on HGTV.
Yeah. And then did To Catch a Predator.
Then, no.
And then The Bachelor. Wait,
yeah, did The Bachelorette and Chris. Who comes to be... Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? It's Chris... Oh.
Who's the To Catch...
Chris Hansen. That is very close.
Yeah.
That is very close. So... The first date, what always happens in The Bachelor is that they just get in this big house in Los Angeles and they're in a big mansion. They just have a big party, a bunch of people get drunk, and then 8 people go home because they're just not interesting enough. So what I have lined out.
That's so hard.
Who decides this?
The Bachelor.
Based on what?
Whatever he wants. Whatever he wants.
The cruel world.
I'm already having anxiety about this.
So by the end of this discussion, we're going to have to delete 8 people from here.
From existence.
From the show. They will go to their homes and be totally fine and hope that they can scrap together an Instagram influencer career, because that's all you do of why you go on The Bachelor or The Bachelorette.
Is there a trapdoor that they do fall through?
This is the Hogwarts edition, so there could be. Oh.
Like a moving staircase that takes you away.
I like it. I think that's good. That's good. So on this first date, instead of having a giant mansion, I think obviously they will be in Hogwarts Castle.
The children's school.
They're all adults now. It's the summer. They're home. Hogwarts needs some money. They're renting it out to CBS or NBC or whatever channel runs this program. So we've got 30 people going after the love of Charlie Weasley. What kind of stands out to you as people that might perform well, that might perform poorly?
So I have a question about the sort of format of how The Bachelor is introduced to all of the contestants.
Yes.
Like, do they know anything about him? Do they have, like, any insight?
They'll know stuff about him. Unfortunately, in the case of Charlie, no one knows anything.
He likes dragons.
Ripped.
Good at Quidditch.
Good family. Good at Quidditch.
Yeah.
That's about all we're going with. But usually they'll start with some one-on-one. The people will walk into the mansion one by one. He'll meet them all. And then it's a big cocktail party. They go in and out, have conversations. There's something in The Bachelor where it's, can I steal you for a minute? This is when one of the bachelorettes, these 30 people will be referring to them as the bachelorettes. This is where the bachelorettes would walk up to Charlie and be like, can I steal you for a minute? And then they would walk over into a side room and they would just be like, this is crazy, right? They'd be like, it's so crazy. We're on The Bachelor. It's so weird. I'm so excited to start my journey. And it's just that.
I feel like I'm watching it.
I hate to admit how, like, accurate of a representation of the show it is, because that's, like, all it is. So, what do you think? I mean, I think right away, like, Peeves might just be pulling pranks the whole time and not actually, like, going after Charlie's love.
But also, that's very fun.
And it could be hard to get, so Charlie might like it.
I do like mustache here.
Flitwick.
No, I like the mustache.
Well, here's the thing. So Charlie is a Weasley, which is a notorious, like, pure blood family that aligns with Muggles. And so I feel like the Dracos and Umbridges of the
just
world
might be outright
would
away.
Be like, I don't know, trying to convert him to their wizard Nazism. I don't know.
Okay. Is Draco?
I feel like there would be like an instant conflict.
Yeah.
Did Draco show up on a motorcycle with a leather jacket? Is the bad boy of this group? Is that what's happening?
Oh,
there always is a bad boy in the show.
Definitely.
So I could see us keeping Draco, but getting rid of Umbridge for the reason.
Right.
So what we're going to do when we remove people is that I'm going to turn into Vanna White. A lot of Vanna White fans. Huge props to Misha Stanton for making me let this bit exist. Be as obnoxious as possible. So one down, seven to go. We got Rick Bumbridge. One thing that I would like to initially postulate is that Hooch and Sprout are definitely dating. I could see the two of them just hooking up the first night and leaving.
But also...
Well, is that the end of The Bachelor? Is that the, like, correct answer to this television show? Did we solve it?
But also, Hooch is the, like, Quidditch referee, right? And Charlie's a very good Quidditch player, so maybe there's a love connection there.
Okay, all right, okay. We can keep him around. But yeah, we need to remove okay. seven.
And like, Marge is a muggle, right? So she's sure. freaked the hell out.
But is she the diversity factor? Which is very important in the show, because in the show, they're always like, hey, man, I know you're not interested, but you got to keep at least, like, not all white people, please. We've done 30 seasons and have had one person that isn't white as the host. Please. So she could be the muggle
she could
diversity.
Be the muggle diversity.
You were getting ready to hack someone. Who?
I've forgotten everything by Harry Potter. Please forgive me.
Moaning Myrtle.
Moaning Myrtle, thank you. Great name. When you meet her for a bachelorette tournament.
Sure.
Bachelor sure. tournament. Mm-hmm. When you walk mm-hmm. up, she's a ghost and a child.
Okay.
So.
Good enough for me. So.
Winky is still a house.
Don't you touch Winky.
I'm just saying.
Look at that photo.
That's true. Yeah, Mike has picked the saddest fan art of Winky
crying. I tried to get everyone's sassiest possible photo. And then Winky, there were only sad depictions.
Okay, what Bethel the Bagshot are we dealing with? Is it Bethel the Bagshot yeah. inside the snake?
Snake pretending okay. to be a human.
Get rid of snake.
Yeah, definitely.
No, keep the snake.
What? No, get rid of snake. Giant snake bad.
This could be like, there's always one person that shows up in The Bachelor like wearing a costume or something. And there's just like some intrigue. It's like, he's dressed as Santa Claus. I'm just so confused.
And then they eat you.
Yeah. So she gets it on the first one. And then right away, Charlie's like, I think it might be a snake inside of a human's body. But I'm intrigued.
He loves animals. Yes, he loves animals.
He's into reptiles.
Okay. But we need to destroy some people. I think Fat Lady is a painting. Probably not
yeah,
really
probably not
well
a,
fit.
Yeah.
Difficult mm-hmm. to date.
Yeah. So we're going to get rid of the Fat Lady. Let's see. I just don't like snitches, so I just want to get rid of Marietta Edgecombe right away.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna stand. But yeah, we've killed four. We gotta get rid of
you know,
four.
Charlie's a bit of a jock. Maybe he doesn't like math. I feel
okay.
like Stephen
Vector. Yeah, Stephen Vector's out.
Yeah.
One day we'll learn about.
I'm stereotyping Charlie. As a jock.
Very good hat, though.
Great hat.
Is that a math hat?
It has to be. It's a perfect.
It's a Vector
cone.
Hat.
Yeah.
How many is that now?
That has been five. We need three
okay.
more that need to go.
Mike.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Can you date a Lego?
Oh. It's okay. This is how we get back at Ludo Beckman. He loses okay. in the first round of all right, these live show game shows. Thank you. So two more.
Are we not getting rid of Snake in a human body?
I want to keep referring yeah. to.
We do.
Okay, fine. Gilbert Lockhart doesn't remember where he is or what he's doing.
That's true.
Right.
Yeah, he can't really consent. He's got memory issues.
Sure, yeah. He's not. Yeah, Gilroy, you're out of here. Goodbye. All right, and then just one more.
McGonagall is too good for Charlie. I mean...
You want to get rid of the best option?
I don't want to get rid of McGonagall. I'm just saying
okay.
she is too good for Charlie.
That
I just want that
could
stated.
Eventually that could happen, but I would feel too bad getting rid of her. You know what? I don't think... No, because bad girl Pansy Parkinson would be fun.
Katie Bell is screaming in such horror in that photo.
Quidditch and Gryffindor connection. Here's
that's
what I'm going to get
that's
rid
true.
Of. I'm going to get rid of Romilda Vane since she tried to roofie Harry Potter.
That's true. Yep.
Not big on lack of consent.
Yes. Yep.
So Romilda's done, and week one of The Bachelor was getting edition of the debate.
All right. When did the roofie happen in the children's book?
With the love potion that she puts inside of the cauldron cakes.
Yeah.
Cool. JK Rowling, doing great.
And nearly dies.
Great.
Yeah
super mm-hmm. good. Mm-hmm. So now we're going to week two where they actually have real dates. Okay. So now they are getting outside of the house. And what we'll have is a group date and then a one-on-one. So for a group date, most people go on it. There's a couple that are left home. Usually there is some sort of rhyming note written to the house where everyone is staying. So for this first one...
Like a riddle they have to solve or something?
No. It's just like, it talks about the date very vaguely, but then it like rhymes or is some sort of pun. And then they have to try to like guess what it is. But the pun is usually so obvious that it's like, I'm water falling for you. And they're like, are we going to go hike to a waterfall? And then they do.
This thing was already my worst nightmare, like a group date with 8 people or 16 people, whatever the hell it is.
Yeah.
And then you add limericks to it. I'm out.
So for date two, they usually do it pretty normal. It's nothing too extravagant. So what I've lined out here is that they will go to Diagon Alley. The date card, I will, let's see what it would say. It's not written down.
Hello, everyone. It's me, Editing Mike. I'm here to explain the visual joke that everyone laughed at because you were not at the show, so you don't get it. I had a little notebook with me on stage just to take notes about particular things in the show, but it was a blank notebook, so when I was coming up with this description, I proved to the audience that the notebook was blank by showing it to them. I will say I took this page out of Bo Burnham's book. I saw him do this live and I thought it was fantastic, so I wanted to pay homage to that to prove in a fun way I'm improvising this. Anyway, back to the podcast.
The date card would be something like, my feelings for you might be a little straightforward, but let's try seeing them diagonally. Canceled? So they go to diagonally. Now, there are going to be four people that go home at the end of this week, and we also need...
It's a week-long date.
The end of the week of the show, et cetera, et cetera. We need six people that just don't go on the date.
They just stay
at the house, and okay, then maybe some drama happens. So we just need like six people that just like don't go.
Okay, well, Peeps doesn't go anywhere.
Cool.
So.
Yeah.
That's true. Yep.
So Peeps stays. To make it easy, let's say these six here don't go.
Okay.
So Peeps, Flowick, Xenophilius, this area, they're not going.
Great.
So we have Peeps, Flowick, Xenophilius, Madam Pince, Madam Hooch, and Pansy staying home. Everyone else is at Diagon Alley. What kind of shenanigans do you think these cast of characters that are left?
Winky cries.
Okay. Winky immediately starts drinking and crying.
Mm-hmm.
They go to the Hog's Head or something.
Sure.
I think Bellatrix would probably try to lure Charlie into Nocturne Alley and like show her the dark side of life.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Can I steal you for a minute into this creepy alleyway?
Yeah,
where
exactly.
They sell strange things. Makes sense. I could see that going well for them though. I could see him enjoying like her taking that stance.
Sorry, didn't she murder some of his siblings?
Not worrying about details.
Yeah, presumably in this timeline, his mom didn't murder.
Yeah,
not yet.
Under the rug. I could.
He works with dragons, so he clearly likes danger to a certain degree.
Okay.
So he might like the Nocturne Alley side date.
Sure.
I think Rita Skeeter would probably do that thing, you know, where you like sit in a cafe and you like make up stories about the people around you.
People watching, because she
has the dirt on everybody.
Mm-hmm. She's quick quill writing mean things about everyone.
I don't think Charlie's into that though. Charlie likes dragons. Is like likes people who's genuine.
Okay.
Rita Skeeter's a gossip.
All right,
that's true. Yeah, she's not down to earth.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I could see Madame Pomfrey just talking to him about like health stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe he's not particularly interested in it though. It's like, great.
Cool.
You're the nurse.
I just started this new medical podcast.
Have you listened to Dr. Death?
Now see, if the snake inside of Bathilda Bagshot had the same knowledge that Bathilda Bagshot did, which who knows, maybe it could. Bathilda Bagshot was a historian, so there could be like some history about Diagon Alley and the buildings there and the businesses.
I could see her wanting to do it, but because it's a snake inside her, it's just... And then Charlie, like when they do the little cutaways, he's like, I think that woman is a snake. I think something is wrong with her. I think Anmar is very confused about everything. Very confused about the whole situation.
Do we think Trelawney will take Charlie off to the side and like tell their future?
Ooh, I like it.
I see you and me together.
I like it. I also could see Katie Bell not having a good time since, or is that, that's at Hogsmeade.
That's at Hogsmeade. But still, maybe like downtown areas are
trauma. Trauma has no boundaries.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, maybe she's like similar vibe, like not enjoying
it. Not digging it.
Okay, so yeah, that's a good little recap of week one. Now, who do we think doesn't perform well and goes home in this situation?
I think with Bellatrix and Draco just looks like a child.
Okay.
Like,
bad boy quotient has been filled by Bellatrix.
Yes.
Yeah.
Draco is not bad enough
because
Bellatrix stole him away, took him Nocturne Alley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's bad boy light. It's not,
That's
bad boy light.
Yeah, my favorite light beer. So Draco, bad boy light, gosh.
We like the bad boy life.
There's really only room for one villain on The Bachelor. Yeah. And Bellatrix has taken that crown.
And there's a snake in a woman's body.
Speaking of snake in a woman, I think she's lost her charm.
Yeah. Charlie's probably figured it out by now.
He's like, I'm pretty sure there's a snake inside of a woman's body. And then, too, I think as you pointed out, Brandon, I don't think that Rita Skeeter goes over well.
I think he doesn't like
the gossip angle of it.
No. Is Marshall here?
I think she survives a little bit longer. She's that diversity quotient.
I feel like Charlie would like have a nice like couple minutes walking down the street with Madame Pomfrey and then be like, I feel like I just want to like stay up on a like hang out with my mom.
Okay.
You know, it's like it would be like, let's be family friends, but like this is not a love connection.
Okay.
Or is it
Madame Pomfrey?
A date to them.
Who knows? Who knows what Molly Weasley's up to?
I like that Misha made me touch it.
All right, so it's the end of week two. And now we move on to week three, the third date. Now, there's usually a physical challenge of sorts.
That's not third week. That's dirty as hell.
It always happens. There's like, they'll play flag football or they'll do an obstacle course or wheelbarrow races or something. Some sort of physical challenge takes place. So what are they going to do? They're going to play Charlie's favorite game, Quidditch. So this is Quidditch week. I love the muddled reaction of everyone. I've truly had my effect on this.
Everyone's favorite.
I hate it so much. Everyone's reminded of the scoring system that makes no sense. So they're going to play Quidditch. Quidditch is 7-on-7. So I think we should just divide into half teams.
Okay.
So everyone is playing except for...
Or Seamus.
What? Yeah, let's have Seamus play and Peeves is just Peevesing. So those are the Quidditch teams. They're going head to head. Who do you think performs well? Who do you think performs poorly? Who has good chemistry that it makes Charlie feel good? Because what always happens is this with the physical challenges, the winning team then usually gets to go on like a concert of a bad musician that isn't very popular, but NBC doesn't have to pay a lot of money to get them on the show. And then the winning team and The Bachelor. Yes.
Is he making this up?
No.
The winning team and The Bachelor go to this concert. So whoever wins will go to a Weird Sisters concert, since there are two bands. It's that or Celestina Warbeck. And she's too top dollar for this show.
That's true, yeah. Well, it's interesting, because it's like Madame Quidditch versus Katie Bell, right? Like two very accomplished players.
Right, but then McGonagall, Quidditch legend.
True.
On one team.
True.
Little old, but still. And then Lee Jordan, known for commentating, probably still all right at playing.
Really good at trash talking.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Draymond Green.
I feel like Xenophilia Slavgood would be terrible at Quidditch.
He'd be like worrying about nargles.
Exactly. He'd be like flying off somewhere and... Winky, also, I could she would she would
don't
fall?
You touch Winky.
I'm not gonna do it. I'm just
if her team loses, it doesn't mean she goes home.
Yeah, I'm just a little bit worried about her being drunk on a broom. She's small and she is constantly drunk.
Often judgmental of me. I think does Bellatrix just murder people?
Yeah, she's
not a bad strategy in Quidditch. The rules are pretty lax about it.
Marge would be terrible. She's never been on a broom before.
No,
she has no idea what's
happening. But she does have flying experience.
Involuntary flying experience.
Nonetheless. So I think team on the left wins.
Okay. Yeah.
That's who I think wins. So we've got these people on the left here are now at the Weird Sisters concert with Charlie. Who makes a connection with Charlie there?
I think this is where McGonagall lets her hair down.
Ooh, you know? Okay.
Where she like
takes off the hat,
takes off lets the hat,
the hair down.
And she takes like, off one bun, still has one left.
Yes. And just like rocks out to the Weird Sisters, and it's like, oh, okay, there's another side to this like very straight laced woman.
Right. I like that. Yeah. I like that. Is anyone awkward at the concert? I feel like Cho Chang plus music doesn't necessarily vibe. I don't remember her performance at the Yule Ball in the movie, but.
I don't know. She looks like she's in the metal. I don't know.
All right.
Marge. Why is Marge here?
I think she's probably... I think she's overstayed her welcome at this point. You know what I think would actually do really well in this whole date, though? I think Lee Jordan hits it off really well.
I think they do.
That's
Griffin
true.
Jordan.
Yes.
Quidditch.
Yep.
Trash talk.
Yeah.
I think that's like a really big connection for them.
Yeah.
So I think it goes
right.
Well. All right. Yeah. The date is over. Now four people have to go. We are very safe to get rid of Aunt Marge. She's very confused. So she's at it. Let's see.
Is just anyone?
Yeah, anyone. And winning team, losing team. I think Xenophilia's performed really poorly.
Yeah.
And Charlie was not amused by the lack of Quidditch acumen there. But who else? Lavender Brown's here?
Yeah. What's she doing? Has she dated Ron in this universe? It might be a little awkward.
We literally said nothing about her, and it's been 30 minutes.
She like had lines in the book.
Yeah. She's gone.
I'll be honest, did not know who that was.
Perfect. And then only one more needs to go.
Wait.
Whoa.
Wow.
First off.
Security? Can we?
Yeah. Don't touch Mikey. Second, there will be times where we'll return to the audience for advice. Wait until we turn to you. Because we will need your help for certain aspects.
At what point are Peeves' pranks not funny anymore?
I think they've overstayed their welcome. It was like fun in the first 2 weeks, but now we're getting serious.
You want there to be another layer to someone, you know?
All right. So now here's who we've got left. For the folks listening at home, let's do a recap of who's remaining. So we've got McGonagall, Trelawney, Bellatrix, Cho Chang, Winky, Padma, Katie Bell, Professor Sprout, Pansy Parkinson, Madam Hooch, Madam Pince, Lee Jordan, Seamus Finnegan, and finally, Flitwick. And we move on to week four. Now, week four is usually at the point they will go to the hometown of the Bachelor. So in this case, I think they start in Romania, where he works, where Charlie works. But then by the end of the day, because they're wizards and they can just take a portkey, I think they spend the evening at the borough with the Weasley family.
Oh,
and they get to meet the fam. Yeah. So, but they start in Romania. Let's just say there's few enough. Everyone goes. So everyone is here in Romania. And they're hanging out with Charlie and his dragons and stuff. Who does well with dragons? Who does poorly with dragons? I don't know that Trelawney and dragons mix.
No, I don't think so. I don't know that
she's nimble on the feet. I feel like she'd be trying to like have a conversation with the dragon about the dragon's future.
Yeah.
The dragon would be like, bah, dragon, fire. Not sure that that's going well.
I think Bellatrix and Lee would both do well for very different reasons.
Okay. You know? What are the reasons?
I think Bellatrix would be like, oh yeah, okay, I can like face a dragon and not be afraid. And she would try to like intimidate the dragon and there would be a little bit of like an alpha off about it.
I like how well her bad girl look is going.
Yeah. And then
it's fun when the villain goes far in The Bachelor.
Exactly. You want that conflict, you know?
Yeah.
And then I think Lee would just like have a good time with it. He'd be like asking Charlie like questions about the dragons and like, you know, commenting probably about like how they're flying around and the different types and stuff, you know, pulling in his commentator.
I'm here for Lee Jordan thriving in this competition.
Oh, yeah. It's really working out. Yeah.
I think Flitwick does well. Dueling champion. If any danger came afoot, he could be quick on his feet with some spells.
I think Flitwick has a blast. I think he's just shooting charms everywhere.
Yeah.
Screwing these dragons.
Yeah. You know who I don't think does well? I don't think Pansy Parkinson does particularly well.
Yeah. Her tough girl exterior kind of starts to crumble.
Because when you're faced with the dragon, If Draco was bad boy light, Pansy Parkinson is like, oh, I spilled a drop of beer into my glass of water. Like, she's the lightest possible.
Yeah.
So she's like Michelob Ultra. I think she's gone. So I don't think Pansy does well. I think she's out. I think Trelawney at this point probably gone as well.
Yeah.
And then two more. Is Winky still here?
If you touch Winky, walk off the stage. What about Padma? What is she?
Padma. Oh, we've barely said anything.
I haven't talked much about Padma. Padma's gone. Does the librarian do well with dragons?
Maybe not.
Wait, I don't know. Wait. She has a lot of knowledge.
That's true.
Also, the library is very dangerous.
That's so true. Okay, she does very well with dragons.
What about Joe or Katie?
Yeah, I think Katie might be scared.
Yeah.
Like, she was previously thwarted by a necklace.
Yeah.
Now we've got a dragon on the Iron States. I think Katie Bell is also gone. All right, so we move forward now into week five. Now, at week five, this is usually where there's few enough where they relocate from staying in the house in the Bachelor world in Los Angeles, or in our case, staying at Hogwarts house. They go to an exotic location. So what I've done is I've come up with an exotic location that is technically in canon if wizardingworld.com, formerly Pottermore, counts, which who the fuck knows at this point, since they just delete stuff. They're like, McGonagall's this old. Oh, fuck, we put her in the second movie. No one saw that, right? So I went to the page where it's like the other Wizarding World schools where they have them across the globe and stuff. But what I have identified is the Japanese Wizarding School, Mohu Toboro. So they're basically going to Japan now.
They're having a fun time.
I wanted
a whole amazing new series from this school.
Yeah, the Brazilian school, which came in second place here, is called Casula Bruxo. So they got great names, way better than Hogwarts. Hogwarts, and then the American one's like Ilvermorny or something.
Yeah.
And then they're like Native Americans, am I right? Everyone's in Japan at the school. What do you think they're doing while they get into Japan?
Okay, I'm going to throw this out here.
Yeah.
These two, they hook up.
Yep. They hook up. Absolutely. That becomes a thing. Everyone else is like upset about it. They try to keep it secret. The producers and like the night vision camera saw it go down. It's all in green.
About Hooch and Sprout, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Hooch and Sprout. Yeah. I think they hook up and then I don't even think they get sent home. I think they just leave on their own volition.
Yeah.
So yeah, happily ever after.
It's a love connection.
Hooch and Sprout. It's great. So they're gone.
I actually think this is where Madam Pince thrives.
In Japan. You know?
Yeah. Because she's like, I bet she speaks a couple languages.
Oh, yeah.
She knows a lot of stuff.
She walks around teaching Charlie how to speak Japanese.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I like it. I like it a lot. What is Kirby doing, Seamus?
Yeah, I can't thrive.
I think he did well with dragons, fire, explosions, Seamus. But yeah, Japan, Seamus. Not sure.
He's just too, like, he's going to knock into a bunch of things. I don't know.
Yeah.
A little clumsy around. Yeah. So Seamus, also gone. Now, one more. One more needs to. We're not touching Winky.
If you touch Winky, I will run in.
Flitwick in Japan. How does it go?
He feels like a homebody to me. I don't know why. Like, he feels like someone who's like,
he's
likes
been at
his
the
face.
School for so long.
Yeah.
It's comfortable. He's the travel. He's out of his comfort zone.
Yeah.
Doesn't necessarily vibe well. Okay.
So can I also pitch that he gets so into Japan that he stays there forever?
He's like, look, I'm having a great time. Yeah. Things are
I'm
fine.
Teach him at school.
I don't care about love anymore. I want Japan.
Yeah. All right, cool. So off to Japan and off of the show. So we are now down to our final six. We have Professor McGonagall, Bellatrix, Cho Chang, Winky, Madam Pince, and Lee Jordan. Representing the boys. Quite a crew.
Quite a crew indeed, Pass Mike. Hello, everyone. It's me, Editing Mike. How's it going? I hope you've been enjoying this episode. Now, we have to take a little bit of an intermission, because it's a live episode. Intermission, because we need to talk about the sponsors of this episode in a little segment that we like to call Wingardium Adridosa. Today's episode of Potterless is brought to you by Function of Beauty. Let's say hypothetically that you're me, Mike Schubert, and you're doing a live show for your podcast in Los Angeles, and you really want to make sure that you look good for this live show because you don't get to be seen live a lot. It's usually an audio medium, so when people see you, you want to really show out. What's the most distinguishing feature that people notice about you? Your hair. How do you keep your hair in check? Function of Beauty. Function of Beauty is hair care that is formulated specifically for you. Regardless of your hair type, they create shampoo, conditioner, and treatments to fit your unique needs. And I know you're probably wondering how unique. They can make over 54 trillion possible ingredient combinations to make sure that your formula is as unique as you. Kelly and I are both currently using Function of Beauty in our shower. Barbara Schubert, my mother, is using it. We all swear by it. It has been absolutely fantastic. My hair feels great. It smells great. I also have lotion from them. The lotion is great. I feel hydrated and nourished in the skin department. I have body wash from them. It's peach scented. It smells fantastic. I love all of the Function of Beauty things that I have in my life and currently mostly in my shower. Here's how it all works. First, you take a quick but thorough quiz and tell Function of Beauty a little bit about your hair. Then their team determines the right blend of ingredients for your custom formula, and then they deliver that personalized formula directly to your door in a cute customized bottle with your preferred option of fragrance and color, and they even print your name on the bottle. It's adorable. Comes with little stickers and pump bottles so you don't have to pour it into your hand. What's not to love? And what's also great is their formulas are vegan and cruelty-free. They never use sulfates, parabens, or any other harmful ingredients, and they have over 40,000 real 5-star reviews and counting. So what are you waiting for? Go to functionofbeauty.com/potterless to take your 4-part hair profile quiz and save 20% on your first order. That's functionofbeauty.com/potterless for 20% off and to let them know that you heard about it from us. That's functionofbeauty.com/potterless to save 20% and get an awesome hair situation for your upcoming podcast live show today. And now you'll hear words from a few sponsors who make it feasible for me to be a full-time podcaster. Some of these ads will be read by me, others of them won't. The ones that aren't are inserted locally, so if you live internationally, don't be surprised if you hear an ad in your country's native language. And once those ads are complete, we'll get back to this episode of Potterless.
This episode of Potterless is brought to you by Arena Club. Now, if you listen to this podcast, it should be no secret that I am both a sports nerd and more of a traditional nerd. And when you think of these two types of nerddom, there's one thing that links them together, and that is card collecting. Whether you are looking to buy, trade, sell, or display a card collection of sports cards or Pokemon cards, you should check out Arena Club. ArenaClub.com is the place where you can do all of these things. I have recently made a purchase on the marketplace. I got Lieutenant Surge's Raichu, which is my favorite Pokemon, and I didn't even know that there was a Lieutenant Surge version of the Raichu. So that is a card that I now have, and it's not just some digital thing. I can have this card physically mailed to me. So there's a bunch of cool stuff you can do with Arena Club, including their slab packs. If you have ever done any sort of card collecting, you know that ripping packs or repacks can be a zero transparency type of thing where you're just hoping you get some sort of cool card. But what's nice about the slab packs with Arena Club is that you have full transparency. You see what available cards are there, what your percentage of getting them is, what the gradings are. So it is not a complete black box. You're going into this knowing what cards you might get. And I've been using Arena Club and it's pretty cool. It's very easy for me to look up different cards. I can favorite them, see what I want. And then whenever I want them shipped to me, I can get them shipped to me. And then I'll have the physical versions of them. Right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/products. Wow, that is a wild offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack is $40 right there. Wow. Anyways, that's arenaclub.com/potterless for 10% off your first purchase.
That's a wild offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack
in a more transparent way. Whether you're a sports nerd or a Pokemon nerd or all sorts of nerds like me, you can use Arena Club today.
What I have prepared here, we have not gotten into this yet, but this here is the producer bag of spice. What happens on The Bachelor is that they always need to conjure up some sort of drama to make things happen that will make some sort of explosion that sends people home or makes people mad at each other, et cetera, et cetera.
This sounds like a great show.
It once was. So I have all of the cliche list of things that often happen on The Bachelor. Eric Silver helped me put this list together.
My friend Chris Chan helped me put this together.
Kelly helped me put this together. So there are lots of things that like always traditionally happen here. So I'm going to pull out the spice and then I'm going to see what it is and who it probably makes the most sense to happen to.
No.
I hate to touch Winky, but...
Oh, no.
Mike.
So Winky overslept and missed the date where they all went out into Japan. And that just doesn't bode well for her true dedication to the cause.
She would oversleep.
So much drinking.
Who do you want on a lazy Sunday afternoon? Do you want Winky, who's going to sleep in with you? Did that work?
I'm so sorry.
Well, this was fun, y'all.
Unfortunately, we haven't touched Winky and Winky's now.
Oh. What's the fucking point anymore? Who the fuck cares about any of these people?
So we have five left.
I'm taking out my goggle next. Oh!
We have five left. And there's something that hasn't happened yet, which is very important, that needs to happen on The Bachelorette, which is where there's two people that usually get into some sort of argument. And the way that they settle two people get into this argument, the way that they settle is they do a two-on-one date where those two people go on a date with The Bachelor purely just to get the two people that hate each other in the same space.
This show sucks.
They fight with each other the whole time, and then one stays and one goes. So before we get to the final four, which is hometowns, we're going to pick two people to go that would have some sort of beef between them, each other, go on a date with Charlie, and then one of them has to leave. So the people remaining, who has beef?
I mean, it's Bellatrix and someone, right?
Bellatrix and McGonagall.
Yeah, million percent.
I'm wondering if anyone else could have beef with Bellatrix so that we make sure they both go to the final four.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Madame Pince probably not. Yeah. I mean, JoJing was in Dumbledore's army.
Yeah.
So she technically was like fighting against the Death Eaters.
All right, sweet. So Bellatrix and Cho Chang are feuding.
Classic.
I wonder who's going to make it out of this one. Look, if only we had Winky still.
Oh, I really would pay to see a Winky Bellatrix standoff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
One date that could work for this two-on-one that I think is very fun, it's something that Johnny came up when we did this in Phoenix, is that they have a day where they just do tourist stuff and pretend to be muggles.
They wear
bad clothes.
Get a physical, get an accountant.
If you're in Japan, especially if they're in like the spring, it could be cherry blossom season. Mm-hmm. So they could go out, try to see all the cherry blossoms, go on some scenic hikes, go to some gardens and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I think that the two of them try to be normal people with Charlie Weasley in Japan. There's going to be some sort of argument that bubbles up that causes the two of them to freak out and get into a yelling match of swords.
I have an idea for it.
Okay.
One follows Nazi wizard, he hits Hitler.
Okay.
So.
All right.
That All might right. be the argument. Yeah.
The argument, sure. How does the argument unfold?
I can't believe that you follow Hitler.
I can see it.
I think it would turn very bombastic very quickly. Bellatrix doesn't seem like someone who's going to like ramp up a debate. You know, right. She's going to go gonna right like, for the throat.
Oh, we've started. My volume's already at 11.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They would blow their cover immediately.
Right.
Charlie would probably, being like sensible, would probably have to like figure it out and try to make sure that they didn't like reveal themselves to muggles.
Okay. Here's how I think it could go down, going by like Bachelor stuff, is that this could be to the point where people are like screaming at their televisions, mad that this person is still here. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is Bellatrix. If anybody saw, I don't know if it was Ben H's season, isn't it Corinne from The Bachelorette? Yeah, yeah. She's someone that like made it all the way to the final four and everyone's like, why the fuck is Corinne still here? She's so bad. I think that's what Bellatrix happens. So I think Cho Chang goes home and everyone's like,
yep.
So I think Cho Chang is out of here. Bellatrix is staying. And we've gone.
The producers are like, Bellatrix is too interesting. We gotta
keep her on. But now we're in.
I think Bellatrix murdered Cho Chang, y'all. This is what happens.
Who's to say? So when you get to the final four.
It's a true crime podcast that comes out.
When you get to the final four, which is McGonagall, Bellatrix, Lee Jordan, and Madame Pince.
Madame Pince!
How did she survive? You go to the hometowns of these contestants, and Charlie goes, meets their family and stuff. So let's start with Bellatrix. Interesting home life, to say the least. Mm-hmm. I don't know that it's going to go well because they don't like the Weasleys very much.
They sure don't.
I think there's going to be a lot of arguments right off the bat.
Yeah.
No, I think
that's it. That's the whole thing.
I think it's quick. I don't know that it goes particularly well. We might have an easy candidate for who's going home this week, but let's see how the rest of the hometown dates go. McGonagall, she's of who knows what age now.
Yeah. Does she have a hometown anymore?
I know that there is like a thing on the Wizarding World that like said things about her backstory and like her family life and all of that. I have not read it yet, so I don't know.
Do we know where any of these people are from?
No.
Should we just say like Illinois?
I do think that like Lee Jordan is probably from like a really fun part of London.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is probably skewed by Luke Youngblood, who plays him as like very like bright, bubbly Londonite guy.
Yeah,
he's on Doctor Who for sure. Like,
so
that would probably be a fun trip. Yeah, Lee Jordan.
Lee Jordan's hometown. They go to London. Yeah. They're having a great.
His family's
time.
Probably great and fun.
Yeah, they graffiti things. What the fuck do you do in London? I have no idea.
Ride the tube.
Meet Banksy.
You ride the tube.
Pay for things with weird money.
Drink tea. Complain when Mike Schubert messes things up in the Potter's podcast about the United Kingdom. That's what I've gathered about.
You meet them in a cover match.
Yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You drive on the wrong side of the road,
right.
Et cetera, et cetera. You Brexit. All of the things.
We're Americans, y'all. It's fine.
Look, things are shitty right now. Yeah. If other people go shitty, at least it's like misery loves company, right? So London, Lee Jordan, that goes great.
Love it.
Madam Pince.
Is her hometown a library?
Could be, but I think she just like takes him to his hometown to like the tiny little like Meg Ryan from You've Got Mail bookstore.
Yes.
And then they just like they go around.
It's very romantic.
Favorite little like reading nooks.
Yeah.
Go
it's
over some
pretty nice. It's pretty calm.
Yeah. Really nice.
Yeah.
I think McGonagall and him just have like a night out on the town. I think they get drunk.
Yeah.
And they just like, because I'm just living in a world where she doesn't really have like a lot of family left. They're just like kicking it. I think they just go out drinking and like having a blast.
Right. And then Charlie finally understands that it's more of a mother vibe than a dating vibe. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Those are the initial seeds that can be planted. Mm-hmm. So in this week, though, only one goes home. I think we've overstayed the welcome of the Nazi.
Yeah. Think so.
I think Bellatrix the Strange is gone. So now we move on to the finale.
This is not where I saw this going.
No, I could have put good money on McGonagall.
Sure.
I put $1,000 on Lee Jordan.
Madame Pince, no way.
I really thought Ludo Bagman was going to be in.
No.
The Lego man?
He always loses the first round. He's so bad. The finale, what happens is they go to this exotic location. It's the three of them. It's all these like exotic one-on-one dates and stuff. And then one goes home and then it's the final two. But they stay in the exotic location the whole time. What I've identified as the exotic location is I was trying to think of places that they actually go in the Harry Potter series that is exotic. And I was like, oh yeah, they do Albania. Where's Albania? Because I don't know. Geography. So I Googled it and it's like on the Mediterranean. It's like basically Greece. Apologies to all of my Albanian and Greece listeners, but like it's in the same like area and vibe.
Their motto.
It's basically Greece. I think they go to Albania, a wonderful beach town on the coast. They have a great time. They're eating all this great food and stuff. It's just a series.
What's the food in Albania like, Mike?
Albanian food?
The classic Albanian dish.
I assume it's Mediterranean, so it's hummus.
olives, pita bread, you know, Albanian food. Just lost every Albanian listener. All 12 of them. Be a slight dip in the download. That's where I lost Albania. So it's a series of one-on-one dates. Let's start with Madame Pence. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that this goes particularly well at this point.
She doesn't strike me as someone who, like, loves the sun.
Yeah,
you know?
I can see her getting a very bad sunburn.
Yeah.
I also think Charlie is like, we haven't really delved into Charlie here a lot.
Yeah.
Mainly because we don't know anything about him.
He likes dragons.
But
likes
dragons!
That's a
muscles,
personality.
I feel like he's, like, spunky, quirky, Ginny-esque, mm-hmm. Fred and George-esque. Everyone in his family except for Percy-esque. I feel like Pence is just a little, like, her whole shtick is that she just shushes people when they're having fun.
Yeah.
I don't know that that works, especially when you go to Albania for fun, mm-hmm. exotic Albanian, all of our favorite Albanian monuments that they visit, the Albanian activities that we all know and
that
love.
We all know.
When we summer in Albania.
Well, I feel like she lasted this long because she's like that bachelorette who's like just sort of pretty and interesting enough and like innocuous enough to mm-hmm. sort of fly under the radar.
Yeah.
And then every time Charlie interacts with her, it's like, oh, this is nice. But in contrast to McGonagall and Lee Jordan, it's like night and day, you know?
When you take the Nazi away, it's like, oh.
Okay.
Oh, wait.
You're kind of boring.
You were great by comparison, but like.
She could be a great contender for what happens is usually the person that comes in third or fourth place is like the Bachelorette next season. She could be in great room for that.
Where people I would
like,
love to watch
that. Everyone would be like, she was so nice. She'd be
you
great
You
want to
watch
the
show?
A wizarding version of the show? Yeah. Definitely.
So I think at this point, yeah, probably Madame Pince
yeah.
is gone. So
yeah.
She's there. Now,
well, we can never go to the library again.
There's a bit of producer spice that I want to interject into the mix because when I did, and this all works canonically, when I did Wizarding World The Bachelor in Phoenix, Charlie Weasley won the heart of Madame Rosemurta. And what usually happens when people win The Bachelor is that they get engaged because the show mandates that you propose to the person that you've known for 3 weeks.
Cool. Mike, this is a good show.
Really,
good show.
Wait, it actually like mandates.
I mean, I don't think it's ever happened where they don't. And there was one guy, Peter, in Rachel's season, who was like, I don't know that I'm ready to propose because I've known you for 3 weeks. And then she was like, I don't know if Peter's committed to this and sent him home. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Wild show. So what'll happen is usually the people will get engaged. They'll be together for like 3 months or so, and then they will...
They write a cookbook, and then they get divorced.
Yeah, you know, break it off, but they still have their Instagram careers intact, and they just become, you know, shills for tummy-trimming teas for the rest of their lives.
Same.
But here's a bit of producer spice that I would like to interject. What's this? Madame Rosemurta has come back because I've made a huge mistake, Charlie.
Oh, no.
Because I'm living in the world where Madame Rosemurta broke it off with Charlie Weasley. Mm. The fool that she is. But she's come back because she realizes that I was trying to find myself, but what I found was you. And I'm so sorry for this. Do you think Charlie is wooed by this enough to have her be in the final two? Or is he like...
Here's the question. Is Charlie smart?
We don't know. I do think that he's not someone to get like hung up on the past, though. He's very much like an of the moment guy, right?
Sure.
He's like reacting in this very high stress dragon environment
at
work. So I think he would be like, you know what? I've had such a good time meeting all these like new people that like you're in my rear view, you know?
Okay.
Like, I think he'd be over it.
All right. I like it.
It's brutal.
To quote Mike Jones, who was one of the Houston rap artists playing in the pre-show playlist, back then they didn't want me. Now I'm hot. They all on me. I think he says, nah, you're good, Madame Rosemurta.
My favorite verse is a Charlie Weasley verse in that song.
It's pretty good. It's pretty
unexpected,
good.
Unexpected, but really great.
So we're down to the final two. We're down to McGonagall and Lee Jordan, which is very, very good. Now, the way that I would like to...
I wonder who I'm going to vote for.
Well, here's the thing.
Winky.
What we are going to do here for the final two is usually what happens when you get to the final two is that the contestants will go up to the bachelor, the bachelorette, and do this big, long proposal to them, even though they don't know if they've won or not. So the person who comes in second place still does this like big, long, drawn out proposal.
God.
And then sometimes they have to be like, I'm sorry. And it's terrible.
Oh, why do people...
What?
The drama, baby.
I've I've lost hope in the human race.
Yeah.
This is really upsetting.
So what I would like to do here for the final is to determine who ends up winning, is we will have a performance of what Lee Jordan's proposal to Charlie Weasley would be and what Professor McGonagall's proposal to Charlie Weasley would be. Now, there are three of us here, and there's two people left.
Not it.
Okay, great. I will...
Sell me.
Because that was done dirty to you, and you're the guest, I will let you choose who would you like to act out the proposal of to Brandon, who will now be playing the role of Charlie Weasley.
Yes. Please impress me.
So.
I will choose Lee Jordan.
Okay. You'll be Lee Jordan, I will be McGonagall. Would you like to go first or
no.
second?
Okay. Oh, you're doing the whole thing. I'll go first.
Do you want to? It's not too late.
No, it's okay.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So I'll be playing the role of Professor McGonagall, proposing to Charlie Weasley. We're also just living in the 2020 version where they just like get down on one knee and are like, it's the future. So we're going to be good. So yeah, do it, Charlie. Oh, Charlie! Apologies in advance, this will become Irish. I can't stop it. I've had a good time on the show with you these past 3 weeks when I've gotten to know you. I'm sorry, my ears are bleeding. It's been truly wonderful going to meet your family that I already knew. We got to make fun of Ron behind his back, and it was wonderful. I loved going and see you in your place of work where you're most comfortable, around with dragons and fire, but what I've came to realize, getting to see you over the past 3 weeks or so, is that where you're most comfortable is with me. And where I'm most comfortable is with you. And I know that you deal with dragons and fire, and you have red hair, all things of fire related, but the brightest fire that I can think is the one that burns in my heart for you. And I know we have the Quidditch connection, and catching the snitch is an absurd amount of points. 150 or so, but catching your heart would be worth infinite. So... Charlie Weasley! Will you make me the happiest headmistress a girl could be? We find out next week on...
I hate that I chose not to go first.
I suddenly have a hankering for Lucky Charms.
All right. I'm not going to do a voice because I feel like that's a fair
sure,
idea. Sure,
you're good.
Mm-hmm. Charlie.
That's so wonderful.
Have you seen?
Charlie, it's been some of the best 3 weeks of my life, but it's been longer than 3 weeks. We've known each other for a long time, known your family for a long time, and we always have a great time together. You know, I spend my life saying things to people to entertain them. And this is the hardest thing I've ever had to say. But you're the person that I want to commentate life with. So Charlie Weasley, will you let me whisper into your ear? Find out.
Next week on... What a wise decision I do where I keep going against you, a writer, in things. Oh, we don't even need to do this, but to get audience participation, because I promised it, we're going to do a round of applause for who won. Well, if you liked...
I don't know. That's tough. That's tough.
All right, first up, Winky.
Thank you.
Very good. Okay. If you think McGonagall should win Charlie's heart, applause. And if you think Lee Jordan took it, officially won Charlie Weasley's heart on Wizarding World The Bachelor. Give it up for Lauren and Brandon, everybody. Oh, thank you so much. Yay. Amazing.
So we got a little bit of time left before we go out. Afterwards, we'll like do pictures, get merch. I got pens and we can sign stuff, meet us all, whatever, hang out, etc. But I always like to round these out with a little bit of Q&A before. Mm-hmm. So if anyone has any questions, start thinking of them now. Just raise your hand.
This is why I love Wiki.
But I will just say, say your name, say what house you're in. And then as Powderless rules always mandate, if your house is Slytherin, you must clarify whether or not you're a racist. And if you are, I will not field your question. I'm very sorry. So, with that being said, does anyone have any questions? It can be about the podcast, Harry Potter, just us. Yes.
I'm Carlin. I'm a Hufflepuff.
Hello, Carlin.
Who would have Charlie invited to the fantasy suite?
Oh, thank you.
What the thank fuck you. Is my fantasy suite?
Oh, baby, strap in. Strap in.
If there's a mirror on the ceiling, I quit.
There's a heart-shaped bed, I quit.
So the fantasy suite is the point.
I don't want to sound as fussy while you say this.
Like, it's not going to be fun. The fantasy suite is the point in the show where it is understood that the contestants are allowed to book The Bachelor. Because the whole time...
On network television?
They don't show it, but it's always like they go to the suite. They have like some sort of like, you know, one of those note cards again with a key. And then they like go inside and then they like start to do something. And then the camera like pans to the window and then there's like fireworks outside.
Oh,
do you want to leave?
Yeah, kind of.
Here, what I'm going to say is, even though she didn't make it to the final three, I think Charlie would bring Bellatrix because she's a freak. He just wanted to like see how that went down and then send her home promptly after for being a Nazi.
What's the threshold of freak and Nazi?
I'm very happy to say that I don't know. No experience in this area. Who do you think Charlie would have...
I don't know that I want to answer this question.
You don't have to.
No, I don't want to think about this anymore.
Great. Thank you for making sure I didn't forget about the fantasy suite, though. I would have been awful if I had let that slip by. Anyone else with a question? Yes, here in the front row.
Allie, Slytherin, not racist.
Awesome. Thank you, Allie.
I'm on the Discord group.
Oh, sweet.
You never submitted a card for the Cards Against Humanity.
Oh.
So what card would you do?
Okay, the black card or the white card?
Yeah.
Either one.
Okay, black heart is the one where it's got the blank in it and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, I think we should all answer this. It'll be very fun.
Is it Harry Potter? What's the
just
prompt?
Yeah,
or Harry Potter
or Potterless? We started. Yeah,
could do it about anything. Mike.
Oh,
yeah, you can do it for sure. Oh, okay, I got it. In this episode of Potterless, Mike thought blank was blank. There's infinite possibilities of me making mistakes. He thought Scotland was in England. He thought Harry was 13 in the Goblet of Fire. Possibilities are endless. So that would be my card submitted.
I would make a bunch of white cards with just like Mike's pomade, Mike's dance moves, Mike's confetti cannons.
I think I would do a black card and have it be at Mike's wedding, he'll be wearing a shirt with blank print on it.
Pretty good. Oh.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Spoiler alert for the wedding. It is white with white print. Because Kelly made sure of it.
Respect.
Thank you. It's a very good question. Anyone else? Yes, over here in the jacket.
Aaron,
hello.
Slytherin, uh-huh. Not a racist.
Great, love to hear it.
And we were brainstorming in the car on the way over, and we want to give you a scenario in where you are able, since it's Valentine's Day,
yes.
You are able to hire the frog choir.
Okay.
To serenade your significant other.
Okay. Ooh, the frog choir. Okay.
That's a very good question.
That's incredible. The frog choir feels like the frogs are the most fun part, and they do all the bass notes. So I feel like I would want some sort of song with a lot of like deep bass in it.
He's going to say something like hip hop.
Yeah.
No. What I actually think would be very fun is, I think if you do Ain't No Mountain High Enough, where the duet is a human and then a frog singing the Marvin Gaye quotes, I think that'd be very fun. So it could be like, you know, like, ain't no mountain high, ain't no valley low. I think it'd make for a very fun duet, especially the harmonies together.
Yeah.
That would be my vote.
My Heart Will Go On.
Oh,
very good.
I think a classic like a cappella choir song, Stand By Me, with the frogs doing the like
oh, it's very good. That's very good answer. Yeah. Okay. Anyone else with a question? Yes, over here in the fun jacket.
Hi, Michaela.
Hello, Michaela.
What is the thing you would recommend if they didn't put in the books?
Okay, so the thing that I wish was in the movies, it's in the books, not in the movies. Okay, cool. I mean, it's very obvious to say Charlie Weasley, like, but he's still not even that much. No, you know what? I'm very mad that they didn't make, they took out all the parts where Snape's a dick. Like, I very recently watched the 8th movie in prep for the episodes that are coming out in 3 days about it. But they do the Snape flashbacks and they take out all the parts where he's shitty.
Yeah.
So they just like very much build upon him being a good guy, which like is fine, but I feel like it, I don't know, ruins some of the complexity of him.
You know what you can't do though? Like you can't take back the fact that Snape has just been pining over this woman for 30 years and is a weirdo.
Yeah.
And like,
get
and
over it.
Was verbally abusive to like her son and all of his friends.
But it's because you love them.
No, it's not what love is.
What about you guys?
Peeves. Oh, yeah.
Peeves.
Yeah. Have you
not
seen
Winky?
The...
Oh,
Winky's not in the movie.
Winky's not
this is your chance.
It's been a very long time since I watched the movies. Have you seen the concept art for Peeves, though, from the movies?
No.
Because they did cast him, and they had, it was a guy from Monty Python, but he was too funny that none of the kids could keep a straight face. So they were just like, can't put this in. They're laughing too much. It's not going to work.
That's what happened with me, too. I was in the movies, and I was just too funny.
You are.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
It's
very good.
It's unfortunate.
Very funny at age 7. Anyone else with a question? Yes, right here in the glasses.
My name is Nayeli. I'm also a Gryffindor.
Hello.
And I took Latin in high school.
Very good. Glad we got a mention in. Nice.
So if you were able to get program seats to watch the battle between Voldemort and Dumbledore in Order of the Phoenix versus Deathly Hallows Snape versus McGonagall, who would you choose?
Oh my god! How much time do we have? Oh, that is so hard. Those are the two best fights.
Is it really that hard?
Yes.
The two best wizards of all time fighting, you would turn that down?
But also McGonagall turning a cloud of smoke into knives and then throwing it at Snape.
That is cool. That is
cool. It's very cool.
Yeah. I did that chapter too.
I think I'm going to have to pick the Order of the Phoenix one just because it's the two best. And I really need to see Dumbledore like full... super chill, all nonverbal, just like pointing all over, like not looking stressed. Voldemort's looking stressed. It's like if you were able to see, you know, an NBA Finals game between, like it's Steph LeBron, like the 2015. It's like the two, you know, MVP.
Mike, this
also
is
LeBron.
Anymore.
I'm sorry. But like, it's one of those, when the two best are going at it, you have to do it. I feel like I would have to pick that one. Though I would love to see the McGonagall turning.
It's for the audience, it's like when Gandalf fights the White Wizard. For a better point of reference.
What about
Thank
you?
Thank you. That's for me.
For those two fights, which would you attend?
I mean, the big one.
Yeah.
I also, fuck McGonagall. I don't want to, I'm mad at her right now.
Because she usurped Winky?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I'd choose Dumbledore and Voldemort. But also, I would definitely pay for Mrs. Weasley versus Bellatrix.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, that's really good.
That's really good. All right. Anyone else with a question? Yes, right here.
Shannon from Gryffindor.
Cool. Hello, Shannon.
My question is, if you could resurrect one of the characters that died, but you had to switch them with a character that lived, who would you switch?
Is it
Fred and George?
Almost.
What's the difference?
No, Fred.
Now George tells better jokes.
Fred for Percy. Get Percy out of there.
Oh, wait. Oh, so one of the people has to die?
Yes.
At this? Oh. Oh, yeah. Fred for Percy. Yes. Yeah. Very easy. What were you thinking?
Serious black from McGonagall.
Whoa. What is this McGonagall slander? So petty.
You took Winky away from me.
Dobby for Winky.
How dare you?
Oh, man. Okay, I think we have time for like one more. Yes, right here.
My name is Taylor. I'm with Gryffindor.
Hello, Taylor.
If you could create your dream starting lineup for your basketball team,
okay.
Wizards,
yes.
Who would you have for your
Okay. If you think he doesn't have like a fucking poster on his wall, it's like, McGonagall, Hagrid in center position.
I have
answered this question a couple of times, but I'm going to put a different spin on it so that it's different. I'm going to put together my bad guy team. Because
like
I usually.
Monsters.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. Right. Perfect. Thank you so much.
For a reference for the audience.
Thank you.
I'll put together the Monstars lineup. I mean, obviously, you have to have Voldemort there, not only for his prowess, but for his theatrics. Because he
guy,
would be.
That guy cannot take a pick. I don't know.
I feel like Voldemort is there for sure. I think you have to have Fenrir Greyback for the intimidation factor.
Oh.
Especially if the other team has any child on it, because he's like, oh, sweet, a snack. So I think he's in the mix. I think Bellatrix is there to be like the J.R. Smith unpredictable player, just because you don't know what's going to happen, but she could do some great stuff in there. What's she hiding in her hair? Who knows? I think that happens for sure. I'm going to put Scabior in there just because his name is Scabior. And I think he's really scrappy. I think he could get into the mix. He's the head snatcher guy. He's the leader of the snatchers. I think actually I'm going to go out and I'm going to actually say young Tom Riddle. Just so you have like the smooth, like sweet talking kind of guy. And he could like persuade the ref to like not call fouls and stuff. Cause like if you can trick Helena, he tricked Helena Ravenclaw into giving up the tiara. Like if you can trick that, you could be like, hey ref, I know Voldemort just fucking killed a guy. But like, don't you think a technical foul is a bit much? What if we just call it a turnover. Leave it at that. And ref would be like, wow, he's so charming. So yeah, that's my Monstars lineup. Do you guys have any basketball lineups you're going to put together?
No.
Or just five cool wizards?
I think I'd put together like a women over the age of 45 league, you know?
Okay, good.
Like
good,
you got
good.
McGonagall, Hooch, uh-huh. Madame Pomfrey, Trelawney, and Madame Pince. Just like figuring it out.
What a roster. I really enjoy it.
Trelawney be the worst basketball player
so
of all time.
But pretty good coach. As long as she like, as she's like trying to draw plays, but then all of a sudden she's like, they're going to try to shoot from the corner. And then they're like, oh, okay. So she'd be like good and very, you know, quick spurts. She'd be a very useful.
I'm going to make a whole team out of house elves. If that's
okay. Are there more than five in the series?
Yes.
Who?
Not named.
Yeah, okay, that's right. So we've got Dobby, Winky, and Creature.
Yep.
And then two of the other ones that use knives on the ankles in the battle.
And Dobby.
Yes, Winky and Dobby. Perfect. What a great roster. Thank you so much for the question. Thank all of you so much for coming out. Give everyone a round of applause. Eric Silverbarrel, Mail of Horse, all of Multitude for putting this all together. Brandon and Lauren for being here. For Misha helping out in the booth. For all of everyone else in Multitude that's helping out with merch sales and putting stuff up and organizing things while I make sure I had all of my silly details together. Thanks everyone so much for making it happen. Thank you all so much for coming out. We're going to clean up really quickly here. We can meet out there, hang out there and stuff like that. Pictures, do whatever, merch and all of that. But until then, as they say in the wizarding world of Harry Potter, before they give all of their love to Winky for being so drastically removed from our lives unfairly. Wizarding World! Thanks so much for coming out, everybody!
Hey, if you're looking for new podcasts to listen to, look no further than Multitude. We have so many great shows. We have new shows from Meddling Adults, the new show that I launched this summer, to Next Stop, to our newest show, Exolore, to the fact that Horse has a new co-host. There's so many new fun and exciting things happening in Multitude. Join the party having a new season, Spirits having new types of episodes, everyone switching things up and keeping it fresh, and you can learn about all of the wonderful shows and listen to them now at multitude.productions. Potterless is created by Mick Schubert. It is hosted by Mick Schubert. It is edited by Mick Schubert. It is produced by Mick Schubert, as well as Vicky Garcia, Christine, Aaron Johnson, Klaus Lopu, Marchismo, Samantha Rose, Juan Sanfeliu, Rosemary Dodge, Maria Lisa C. Keen, Romina Rivadinier, Audra Eleanor Curlin, Nikita Power, Rachel Guthrie, Zachary Pulido, Alex Consul, John Cocker, Noel Basile, Claire Spencer, Rory Collier, Veronica Bartova, Lotta Bartova, Noah, Tracy Toya, Kyleen, Jennifer Marklew, Justin Montero, Jacob Parrish, Maya Gray, Mark Body, Polly Burge, Zena Resnowski, Harlan Haskins, Noelia, Nikki Harris, Kine, Amanda Alford, Kafir Shaw, TL, Sarah Shetter, Marta Morrison, Maya, Floor Sake, Georgia Davis, Skyla Lily, Edel Ryan, Professor Threat, Ellie Hoskovchova, Michael David, Yor, Morty, Kelly, Otilio, Kerry Crumpler, Connie Bienkowski, Jen Went, Nedry OS, Will Huser, Marco Cepeda, Marie Grieger, Ashton Gabrielson, Brittany Gutierrez, Fail on the Meadows Family, Ginny from the Block, Heather Langeel, Kevin Stewart, Lori McDonald, Jarls Fiven, Peter McGrath, Jan and Rose Dabb, Callahan and Daris, Leah Reed, Melissa Rabb, Bella Baralak, Melanie Demi, Becca Spry, Reese Dignan, Adam Graham, Joseph Torp, Lily's Mom, Madison, Don't Call Me Nymphadora, Sabrina Balsiger, Sophia Loves Pigs, Farzan Sharabat, Melanie Dehreif, Matt Barger, Okamahime, Bony Pony, Kelsey Gillespie, Rike Mangor Jensen, Taylor Payne, Megan Moon, Riley Kiedis, Laurel Happy, Rossanne Batamana, Erica Butler, Miranda, Landon Schrausch, Kendra Hertz, Natanya Page, Yogan Shanley, Darcy, Alexandra Harrison, Sandra Rose, Craig McRoberts, Lior Nachum, Demi Lynn, Michelle Spurgeon, Callista Delano, Jennifer Terzian, Henrique Wolf, Jeremy Elmore, Delkis, Katrina Smith, Jerica Law, Casey Canales, Megan Stempin, Zat, Jack Skitzes, Sophia Lyon, Dane Nemcher, Kirsty, Robin Garcia, Chick Parm, Mermaid and her Daddykins, Alaria Vicentin, Lori, Gregory Hughes, The Real Stan Chung Pike, Caw Caw, Mother Feathers, Nina Jazalik, Ribbon Monstrosity, Brittany Harper, Ashley Summers, Your Friendly Neighborhood Ravenclaw, Gavin Miller, Jack Parr, Serenity, Allen, Emily Quinlan, Haley Hastings, Sabrina Casanova, Sean Allen, Jenny Browers, Laura, Mazel Tov Hila, Eileen Gazesh, Annette Pipitone, Kirsten R. Cunningham, Hufflepuff alumni, Brett Clausen, Hunter Gordon, Mary Price, Artemis, Trans People Are People, Steamed Nuggets, and Can't I Batter? Web design by Kelly Schubert, and the music is by Bettina Campomanes. If you want to find us on social media, you can at facebook.com/potterless, twitter.com/potterlesspod, instagram.com/potterlesspodcast, and reddit.com/r/potterless. For any and all information about the show, you can go to potterlesspodcast.com. Bonus content lives at patreon.com/potterless, and merch lives at potterlesspodcast.com/merch. If you want to tell someone about the show, you reach out directly saying, hey, I think you would like this show, or you just leave a rating and review online. Those really help. Thank you so much for listening, and until next time, as they say in the wizarding world of Harry Potter, wizard on!
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.